I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, not to Nehemiah, as we have been accustomed to over the past few months, but we are done with that series, and we're going to be looking at Christmas, and so I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke, and we're going to be looking at some characters in the scriptures that deal with the Christmas story, and then looking at some themes that deal with that Christmas message. And today we're going to be looking at faith, and we're going to be looking at it through the eyes of Mary. And so if you have your Bibles, I'd love for you to turn to Luke. In just a minute, we'll read from there. But I want you to know that our church has provided a devotional for you for this Christmas. And so we want to make sure each family gets one. So if you did not pick one of these up, I want to encourage you as you leave today, as you go through the double doors, to pick up one of these booklets. And it's a great devotional, great thing to do with your family, just to take a little bit of time and to be able to read and to focus and to pray and to have that message of Christ the center of your Christmas celebration. So we hope that each family will get one of these and use them during the holiday season. Also want to remind you that today we have our missions focus lunch and hope that you will stay. That's a free lunch for every person. And so after Bible study, we hope that you'll come. Maybe you're tired of eating turkey and the leftovers. Anybody there yet? I am. And so we're going to have just a great lunch provided. It's free, and you'll get to hear about what our church is doing in its missions ministry this afternoon. So let's take a moment and read from God's word in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the true meaning of understanding that you loved us so much, Jesus, that the Son of God became flesh and dwelt among us to take on our sin and pay the penalty, Lord, so that we could be free. And Lord, we look forward to, Lord, just taking a few moments and pondering, Lord, today what it must have been like for Mary and the faith that she must have had. And Lord, I just pray that today, Lord, because of you, that we also will have faith, Lord, even in some confusing times. And so we just come and ask that you would speak to us this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it seems like, especially in our day, life does get very confusing. And, you know, Christmas provides an anchor to which helps us to be able to guide through these confusing days. There's a story of an old man who had a prized stallion. And one day it leaped over the corral and raced down the road and disappeared into the distance. And his friends came to give him comfort That's terrible news, they said. But he looked and said, who's to say if it's good or bad? All we can say is that the horse ran away. A few days later, the stallion came back, bolting again into the corral, bringing with it a dozen other wild horses. His friends crowded around. That's great news. And he said, who's to say if it's good or bad? All we can say is the horse returned. Later, the old man's son, who was a helper, began the dangerous challenge of breaking in the dozen wild horses, and he ended up breaking his leg. The old friends came and gathered. We heard the bad news of your son, your only helper, who has now broken his leg. And the old man said, who's to say if it's bad news? All we can say is that my son, my only helper, broke his leg. A few days later, war broke out in the land, and the young man was unable to be called to duty because his leg was broken. And the friends came and said, oh, it's good news that he can't go. And he said, only we can say that he cannot go to war. We don't know whether it's good or bad. You know, a lot of times there's things that happen to our life, and we wonder, what is going on? What has happened? And we wonder, is this good or is this bad? And we try to put our view of things and try to understand sometimes what God is doing in our life, and many times that can seem confusing. And today we're going to look at the story of Mary, and this must have been a very confusing time for her, as she's a young lady, probably around the age of 14 or 15, when Angel Gabriel comes and talks to her. And I want us to try to understand what it must have been like for her and the faith that she had and the faith that is needed to be able to get through life sometimes when it seems very confusing. And the first thing I want you to see is that we need to trust in God's plan. We all have to admit that we don't know everything. And especially that's true when it comes to God. So many people like to try to put God into a box and try to make him a scientific formula, that somehow they can understand everything that's going on in life. But this is the truth about God. God is a person. And just like any other person in any other relationship, you can't make God a scientific rule. That God has the ability to be able to implement his plan and to interrupt our lives at any time that he chooses. Mary had a plan. She was betrothed. She was ready to get married. I imagine that she was probably thinking about wedding dresses. Maybe she was thinking about a honeymoon. She probably had fantasies of what the house was going to be like that Joseph was going to have for her, and what it was going to be decorated, and what the kids were going to be like. And she had her life and this vision of what life was going to be. Anybody ever have that young vision of what life was going to be when you were young, 16, 17, 18 years old? And then you look at today and go, wow, that was a totally different course. And you know, we see for Mary that here she is, and she's young, and all of a sudden, life is just going on as normal, and suddenly, an angel appears. And this angel, Gabriel, comes and shows up, and imagine what it would be like for here is a young lady, and it's very uncustomary for a woman to have any contact with an angel. And so here she is, and this angel comes and has a message for her. And the angel comes and speaks to her. And it says in verse 28, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. I mean, you think that you hear that message coming from an angel of God and you would be excited. But she's nervous. Says in verse 29, she was troubled. And I can imagine that we would all be if an angel showed up and started speaking to us, even if it was saying, guess what? God has highly favored you. You know, that word is interesting when it talks about being favored. The word for favored is the word for grace. It's not that Mary did anything that was merited, but it was an understanding of God's goodness and what God could do in and through her life as she yielded her life to him. And it was the same word that was sort of used when Noah and everybody else, there was evil. But then there was grace that was found upon Noah. There was favor that was faced upon Noah. And God used Noah to be able to come and do a work. And it's the same thing here with Mary. And this is the same thing that happens to you and I. How many of you know that we don't choose God, but God is the one that chooses us? It says that we didn't love him first, but he what? He loved us. And the reason he loves us, and this is important, that we must understand, is not because we offered anything to him that we were worthy of his love. It was just his grace. And here's what Mary had to have faith in. She had to have faith that God could use her even though she wasn't worth it. She had to believe in his grace, that his grace was sufficient to overcome her weaknesses. And how many of you know that's what it means to be a Christian? That you say, listen, God, I need you to change my life, and I realize I can't change it. But this is what I do believe. God, I believe that your grace can change me. And God, if I will give my life to you, that you can do something. And so because of this faith that she had in God's graciousness, she was able to be used. And then notice it says, the Lord is with you. And so she had to have faith that the Lord was going to be with her. And you know something? This is the great promise that Jesus makes to us. I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so as we go through life and we see God's plan, we may not fully understand it, but this we know, that God's grace is sufficient and that he goes with us and that he will never leave us. And then he comes to her and he says in verse 30, Mary, do not be afraid. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw an angel, the first thing that would hit me was I would have fear. But here's Mary, and the angel comes and says, listen, Mary, you don't need to be afraid. And this is why, because listen, God is in control. And some of us need to allow that thought right there. Do not be afraid, for God is in control, to reign over our heart, because some of us are living our life in fear right now. We have fear that we don't know how we're going to be able to pay the next month's bills. We live in fear about getting together at the next family event because we don't know how it's going to turn out. We live in fear about going to the next doctor's appointment because we don't know what the doctor is going to say. And God says, listen, you don't need to fear. You don't need to fear because guess what? I am in control. And here's Mary, and Mary's not sure now what this means, but she does know, listen, life is not going to go as I wanted it to. And let me tell you something, when you can understand that life is not about you, but it is about God, that is when life begins to make sense and you have purpose. And here she's beginning to understand, it's not about me. And so we see that the angel comes and delivers a message to her, and she understands the plan of the message. Notice it says that you're going to bear a child. You're going to conceive, and when you have this child, you're going to give it the name Jesus. Now, that name means God saves. And so we see the first thing is here, this child is going to be the Savior. It is going to be Jesus. And then notice, continues with things that it says about the child. First of all, it says, this child is going to be great. Now, it's interesting that if you read right before, there's a comparison that takes place. We won't have time really to look at it, but look at it later today. But you can see that as they describe John the Baptist, and you remember Elizabeth was visited and given the message about John the Baptist comes, it says that John is going to be great, but it says that he is going to be great in the Lord. The only reason that John can be great is because of the fact that it was not of what he did, but what the Lord did in and through him. But you see here that Jesus is great, and it doesn't say great in the Lord, because Jesus is God. And so just in and of himself, he is what? He is great. He is awesome. And then it says that he will be the Son of the Highest, pointing to his deity. Going to be God in flesh. And this must have blown her mind. It must have blown Gabriel's mind too. I mean, think about Gabriel for a minute. Gabriel is the angel that had visited Daniel. And he goes and he gives the prophecy to Daniel about the 70 weeks and the one day that there's going to be this king that rises up. And there were all these kingdoms that fell, but in the end, the king would come, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he would establish this reign that would be forever and ever. The Messiah, the promised one. And here he gets to deliver that message, and he's coming to a 14 or 15 year old girl and saying, listen, you're going to be the mother of this child and you're going to have to raise him. And I'm sure for Gabriel, this must have been a stretch to be able to be the messenger, to be able to come. And here he was worshiping the Son of God in heaven, praising him, lifting him up, calling holy, 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 bowing down before him. And now the Son of God was going to lower himself and become man. Man, the most vilest evil of all of God's creation, the only one that rebelled against him in full. All the animals remained faithful. All the trees, the sun, the stars, the moon, everything else God created remained faithful. But who disobeyed? Man. And here's God's plan, that he loved man so much that he knew there was only one way to save man, and that was for there to be death of man. For the penalty of sin is death. And so no animal could die for man. It would require man to die for man. But there would have to be a perfect man, and there was no perfect man. And so the Son of God was willing to become man and to be able to live a perfect life and be the sacrifice so that all of mankind could be redeemed. And then he comes and says, listen, you're going to sit on the throne of David. He says, listen, you're going to be from the ancestor of David, and because of this, you will be the one who establishes the millennial kingdom. And then he says, not only that, but you will be on the house of Jacob forever. Not only will you rule for 1,000 years, but you will rule over Israel forever. And then he says, in your kingdom, there will be no end. Not only will you have a kingdom over Israel, but you will have the kingdom over everybody forever and ever. Man, I'm sure Mary's mind was about to explode. as she's thinking and pondering this, and she's like, man, I'm just a simple girl from a no-name place, and I was just planning to live a normal life. And God came and interrupted it and did something different. And you know, this is where we just have to trust God. Oftentimes, life sometimes doesn't make sense. A child dies. Father loses his job. Wife of five kids has the man who promised that he would always be there, just leaves her. And sometimes we just scratch our head and go, why, God? Why is this happening? And in these confusing times, the one thing that we can trust in is that God has a plan. And that he will be there. I can remember looking back at our church planning days and thinking, man, none of this makes sense. We started out at Cal State Bakersfield in a room that nobody could find. I'm like, why would we start there? Then we ended up meeting in a Korean church to do our midweek stuff, and it always smelled like kimchi. And I was like, in a different part of town, God, what are you doing? Then we bought property in the middle of an almond orchard that nobody could see us. We looked like David Koresh in a cult with tents up asking people to come and visit. We stayed there 2 years. Then he says, listen, now I want you to go merge and form with a church that's a different denomination than you, an American Baptist and a Southern Baptist, try to come together and hold hands, sing Kumbaya, and serve the Lord together. I'm like, Lord, in the books, you're just supposed to go and meet at a school, and it just grows, and everything turns out great. That's what everybody else did. You see, God's plan isn't always what we think it's going to be. And that's okay. What we have to remember is that we just have to trust him. This is what God says in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And when you don't understand what's taking place in the world, this is what you can do. You can trust the heart of the one who holds this world together. And here is Mary, and while she's not understanding everything, she believes in the God who has interrupted her life. And when God comes and interrupts your life and things happen that you don't understand, you can trust his plan. But next, I want you to see she also trusted in his power. If you look in verse 34, Mary hears the plan and she asks the question and she goes, how can this be since I don't know a man? I mean, listen, I'm a virgin and there's no way that I'm pregnant, and there's no way that this can take place until after I get married. How am I going to be the one who brings forth this child that you have promised? And notice the angel tells her, and he says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And so he says, listen, the Holy Spirit is going to do the work. And it's interesting, if you read in Genesis chapter 1, you see when the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters, then we see creation took place. And we see how the Holy Spirit hovers over Mary and creation takes place. And how many of you know when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you confess your sin and put your faith in Christ, that the Bible says there is a new creation that takes place? That's why the Bible says that you have been born again, because you are made new. And here's the Holy Spirit and being used. And he says, listen, this child is not going to come from earthly means. This child will be born through heavenly means. And the Holy Spirit will come and will bring the conception. And this child will be set apart for God's intended purpose. And he says, here's confirmation. When you see Elizabeth, you will see that she is pregnant also in Elizabeth's old age, but you're going to see that this child is already in her womb 6 months. And imagine, you know, sometimes in life we need those confirmations from God, don't we? It's not that we necessarily fully doubt. It's just that we're like, God, I just want to make sure this is what I'm supposed to do. And how many times does God bring those confirmations to us? Maybe it's through a verse that we're reading in the Bible. Maybe it's that circumstance that happens. Maybe it's a person in the church who comes and speaks words of encouragement, deals with that subject that shows us, yes, God, this is what you have for me. And then he looks at Mary and says, know this, with God, nothing is impossible. And so she comes and she starts to understand and believe, you know what? God, you have the power to accomplish what you want to in my life. And I believe there's a lot of us here today that are at a crisis of belief. And we've got to wonder, God, can you really accomplish that miracle in my life? Because God, I realize that unless you do it, it's not going to get done. And so, God, I'm here today, and God, I've just got to believe that here you are. You are a good God. You are a loving God. You have a plan. And God, it's not about me, but God, you have a miracle that needs to be done in and through in my life so that you receive the glory and others will know the name of Jesus. And so, God, I've got to believe that you'll come through. And God, I believe that you can do it. You know, one of my favorite cartoons when I was growing up was Popeye the Sailor Man. Anybody remember that? Some of you young kids, that's too young for y'all. But when you used to watch Popeye, you know, Popeye get beat up all the time by Brutus until he ate a can of spinach. And he'd just eat that spinach and all of a sudden there'd be a transformation that'd come in Popeye's life. And he'd grow muscles and he would always be able to go take on Brutus and be able to take on the world and win. And you know, this is what the Bible says. That if we are a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We have something a lot better than spinach, amen. We have the power of God in us so that we can live victoriously. And we get a glimpse of this when Elijah is there. And Elijah is, if you remember, having these false prophets, worshiping these false gods. And he says, listen, build an altar to that false god and see what happens. And they spend all day crying out to their god and nothing happens. And then he comes to his altar, digs a trench and just fills it with water and pours water on the altar. And then he calls fire from heaven, and what happens? Fire comes down. And he believed, and God's power came through. But if you remember the rest of the story, right after that, Jezebel comes after Elijah and says, I'm going to kill you. And Elijah goes and runs in a cave and says, man, I just wish I wasn't even born. And it says that He went finally out of the mountain and he saw God in a fire and a windstorm, earthquake, and he couldn't find them. But then there was God's what? Still small voice. And when he realized that the Spirit of God was still there, it says that he was able to get up and then he was able to continue with his life. And you know, some of us have had that big victory. And we've seen God do that big miracle and call fire down from heaven. But some of us are struggling, and we're just in depression, or we're in anxiety, or we're just in hopelessness. And can I tell you that God can overcome that miracle also? That God can come and breathe life, that God can come and breathe hope, that God can come and his power can get you to rise up again and begin to believe and know that there is a purpose. And so whether it's you need fire from heaven or whether you just need to get up tomorrow and continue living, God is there. And he comes and he brings that power. And we have to have that belief that God, with God, nothing is impossible. And then we finally see that she believes in God's call. And notice in verse 38 it says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Notice she makes this declaration. "I am your maidservant. Lord, whatever you want, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to follow. Whatever you have and whatever this means, I'm willing to commit my life to." Now, we have to think about Mary, because for Mary, some of this must have been just an overstatic, full of joy experience. Can you imagine being the mother of Jesus? Having this child and, you know, it always honored you and never disobeyed you. Wouldn't that be awesome to be a mother of a child that never disobeyed you? Never talked back? You would say, "Go take out the trash." And not only did they go and take out the trash right when you told them, but they also put the liner back in the trash can. "Jesus, can you help clean the dishes?" Goes and clean the dishes. "Is there any more that I can do, Mom, for you to help out?" Man, there must have been a lot of joy. What it was like to see the wise men be able to come and bring those gifts. To see the shepherds and to hear their report. To be there at that wedding and you're like, "Jesus, they've run out of wine. Well, will you do this favor for me? Mom, you know I'm not supposed to do this stuff, right? Oh, but will you do it for me, please?" And he changes the water into wine. How much joy there must have been. But then think about what it was like when she was at Calvary. To seeing her son whipped, spit upon. See a crown of thorns in his head. To see the tears that just must have rolled down his eyes, and to see him on the cross, and he's there just as a son, and he looks and he sees his mom. He sees her heartbreaking. And he turns to John and says, "John, now this is your mother. Please take care of her." And she just saw the love that her son had for her just as a person. Now, that must have tore her up, and the pain that she must have gone through. And folks, I'm telling you, sometimes we sign up for God's service and there's going to be joy, but let me tell you, there's also going to be pain. It's not always going to be easy. But oh, what joy there must have been on that Sunday resurrection morning when Jesus rose from the dead and she saw him again. And then to be a part of the church as she was in Acts, and to be there and to pray and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be able to tell the stories and to be able to share, "Listen, Jesus is not only my child, but he is my God. He is my Savior. I understand the call and I'm willing to follow through and obey." Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And this is what Mary trusted in the call. Not everything is going to be good. It's not what she said. That's not what the Bible says. But God will work everything for good to those who what? To those who love him. And you see, this is God's ultimate plan. He sent Jesus for this reason, not for us to find heaven on earth, but that one day we will die and we'll go to heaven. And man, I don't know about you, but it's going to be glorious to be there with Jesus in heaven with those who love him. And hopefully our loved ones love him. And we'll never be separated again, never sick, and we will be forever with him. And so when the call of God comes and we realize, listen, it's not about this temporary world. It's about God's purpose. And God, you can come and interrupt my life. And I know that as a girl who's going to be pregnant, people are going to talk. People are going to make fun of me. I know that life is going to be hard. I know that when I have other kids and they see Jesus and he's the perfect kid, that's going to make it hard as a mom. God, I know that this is not going to be an easy life, but I'm willing to give you everything. I am your maidservant. And if you have decided to be a Christian, then you've made the same commitment. Jesus, I deny myself. I take up my cross and I follow you. Whatever you want, I'm willing to give. You know, I love this time of year, and I love in Bakersfield when the fog sets in. And it's sort of like our Christmas snow, if you will, you know, for Bakersfield. It's this winter weather. And, you know, I've had the privilege to be able to fly in during the month of December. And it's just, you know, that thick layer. And you're coming in and you're just hoping that pilot sees something eventually, right? You know, but it's just like nothing. And what's amazing is if you go and drive up to Fraser Park, it's clear as day. But in this fog layer, you can't see anything. And I think sometimes we just have to understand that life is confusing. And we can't see it and we don't understand. But when God's light comes, it'll eventually burn off that fog and it will become clear of what God has done and what God is doing. And this is where faith comes in. We've got to trust that even though we don't understand, that